Blog Talk Radio. Well, good morning. Good morning. God bless you. Glory to God. We are rejoicing in that which God has given us. And he has given us his love, and we desire to give it to one another. They will know we are Christians by our love. Hallelujah. What a glorious, glorious world this would be if all of God's children reflected his love to not just one another, but to the world. We thank God for you this morning on Blog Talk Radio with Words from the Word. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Amen, amen. We are going to start our session off as usual with the promises. We're going through the Bible, getting promises out of each book of the Bible. And today we're looking at Isaiah of the Old Testament and 2 Peter out of the New Testament. Well, you know, you could linger in Isaiah for days. There are so many of God's promises in the book of Isaiah. Praise the Lord. So who would like to start this morning? Promises from the book.
Good morning, Ms. Paulette.
Good morning.
This is Elder Roberta. I was in Jeremiah. So
that's okay.
Okay. As well as 1 Peter. I don't know why I thought we was in 1 Peter, but anyway. Jeremiah 17:7, starting with verse 7. The person who trusts in the Lord will be blessed. The Lord will show him that he can be trusted. He will be strong like a tree planted near water that sends its roots by a stream. It is not afraid when the days are hot. Its leaves are always green. It does not worry in a year when no rain comes. It always produces fruit. That was Jeremiah 17:7-8.
Amen.
And then
First Peter
2:1-7. So then rid yourselves of all evil, all lying, hypocrisy, jealousy, and evil speech. As newborn babes want milk, you should want the pure and simple teaching. By it you can grow up and be saved, because you have already examined and seen how good the Lord is. Come to the Lord Jesus, the stone that lives. The people of the world did not want this stone, but he was the stone God chose, and he was precious. You also are like living stones, so let yourselves be used to build a spiritual temple, to be holy priests who offer spiritual sacrifices to God. He will accept those sacrifices through Jesus Christ. The scripture says, I will put a stone in the ground in Jerusalem. Everything will be built on this important and precious rock. Anyone who trusts in him will never be disappointed. This stone is worth much to you who believe.
Amen.
And that is
Amen.
My promise scriptures.
Okay, faith facts to live by. Anybody else?
Good morning. I have Hebrews 8:8. I will write them on their heart. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, where I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Israel. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, that my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. But, I mean,
amen. Powerful faith that you live by. Anybody else? Okay, I'll share mine out of Isaiah. Actually, thought two. Well, I saw a lot that I like. But I picked these two. Isaiah 45:2-3 in the Amplified. I will go before you and level the mountain to make the crooked path straight. I will break in pieces the door of bronze and cut asunder the bars of iron. And I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. Hallelujah. And then in Isaiah 49:16, he says, see, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hand. Now that is a tattoo. Hallelujah. And then in 2 Peter, which I wonder if I put here. It says, 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Amen and amen. Promises that are powerful, that make a difference in our faith walk, and builds the confidence that we need in Christ. Not confidence in ourselves, but confidence in Christ that he will do what he has promised us he will do. Anybody else? Faith, facts, promises out of the Word of God.
Oh, it's here. Is it okay if I...
Yes.
I had Isaiah, but it was Isaiah 37:19. I can't remember. And it said, I created the fruit of a lip. Peace to him who is far off and to him who is the Lord. And I will help them. That spoke on the
Lord. Amen. 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 Okay. Anybody else want to share faith facts this morning? Promises out of the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we're going to continue our fruit inspection. We've gone through 6 of the 9 fruit of the Spirit, giving ourselves a rating between 1 and the 0, really, and 10 as it relates to the development of these characteristics and traits within our lives, realizing that they stem from the condition in our hearts. So we are going to tie together the Sermon on the Mount with the inspection of fruit, because so often we compare or judge or use as a measurement people around us, things around us, the world's definition of things. But we're looking at these fruit through the eyes of God, through the heart of God. And when he lists them in the Word of God in Galatians 5:22-23, he has something very specific in mind. And we were blessed to be able to receive this from our own elder. And it gives us questions that go even the more deep. Okay? So we're going to start with faithfulness. We ended with goodness. We're keeping track of our scores now, and then after our study from the Sermon on the Mount, we want to take it again and see how the Holy Spirit has developed the areas of weakness. And remember, it is Him that does it. God says He is the gardener, and He examines us daily, and He causes us to grow and to know those things that are part of us that are not like Him. And when we see that and when He exposes that to us, we must do the job of surrendering, absolute surrender to Him. And that comes from our Andrew Murray book, Absolute Surrender. So we're using all of our resources, all of the things that we have studied to bring us to an understanding of what this walk should be like. Okay, so I've lost our test because I was keeping score on mine, and I don't know where my sheet is. I'm thinking that Apostle may have taken the sheet because, you know, she doesn't like this test at all. But I have it digitally, printable, so we will just use the digital copy. All right, so we looked at love, which is the strength to put others first. We have looked at joy, which cleanses and heals our spiritual hurts, grudges, and depression. We looked at peace that is not shaken by doubt, fear, or the assault of the enemy. Long-suffering is the strength not to give up, but to endure difficulties, delays, and circumstances. We looked at gentleness is the strength to be kind, which is interesting. Gentleness is the strength to be kind. Well, that's the gentleness. And that gentleness is kindness. And then we looked at goodness, which is the strength to do what is morally right. Goodness, the strength to do what is morally correct. So now we're going to start with faith. So, a faithful person is one with real integrity. And that word intrigued me, integrity. And so I looked it up. I decided to see exactly what does integrity mean. And in looking up integrity, it opened quite a few doors of understanding or definition that perhaps, I don't know, I will say was not as clear before. But I'll ask you, what do you think of when you think of integrity? Real integrity. Anybody? Hello? Anybody? Integrity, what do you think of?
What you stand for.
All right. Anybody else? Integrity.
Someone that stands on what they believe and don't take down. Someone that is has a very, the very honest, truthful, no matter what they come up against, they will not allow their makeup to be distorted in any way. They will stand their ground. be honest in everything. One that will not what is the word I'm looking for? I can't think of the word, but step beneath or allow themselves, you know, someone is going one way, they will not stoop to their level. They will maintain their integrity and not go where the other person is trying to take them or where the other person has gone to belittle themselves.
All right. Anybody else? Wonderful.
Things are conviction. Beg your pardon?
Go ahead.
Integrity to me means conviction, that you have a strong conviction of your beliefs in God and in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And you have strong convictions of where you will go, where you won't go, what you will say and what you won't say. Like, you know, profanity might not be useful for a Christian, you know. So it's just conviction. What are you convicted? You know, it's just conviction, and to me, and it's planning and wisdom, you know, to live a life filled with the Holy Spirit that's indwelling in Christians, because we pray for it, we ask for it, and God grants it to us. Okay, thank you.
Absolutely, thank you. So glad that you're sharing with us. Praise God. Amen, amen. Anybody else? Okay, so when we look it up, I think the portion of the definition that really caught me, I never thought of integrity this way, but it says the state of being whole and undivided. And that is what our hearts have to be, that undivided heart. Again, these are all part of the Sermon on the Mount. One of the heart conditions is an undivided heart. And so integrity, it is defined by an undivided heart. And it comes out of Matthew 6:19-24 in the Sermon on the Mount. It says one heart must be set on the right thing. It must invest in eternal treasures, not the earthly. Thus, we need to have an eternal vision. No man can serve two masters. Now, I would not have thought that to be the definition of no man can serve two masters. We know, don't you know, you serve God or you serve the enemy. But it says you have to invest in eternal treasures. So to have integrity is more than just existing. It is investing. It is creating where you are. Someone who is devoted to others and to Christ. And this is what they're, excuse me, sharing this particular fruit. Our natural selves always want to be in charge, but spirit-controlled faithfulness is evident in the life of a person who seeks good for others and glory for God. And not just sit and see it, but they pursue it, they seek it. That's what faithfulness is. It is an undivided heart. It is a heart that is so set on the right thing that we invest in it, in others' lives. The eternal treasures are the things that we see and we regard as more important. And so our question for assessment is you make promises and you keep them. You are a person of your word. People can count on you. There is no gap in what you say and what you do. Fidelity is the hallmark of your commitment and your marriages. You do not flirt with the world or with anyone. You are true to the Lord, your spouse, people, and the causes that God entrusts to you. They are sacred to you. So faithfulness is not just doing a thing, but regarding a thing as being sacred, of being of eternal value. So how do we assess our faithfulness? How do we assess how we seek the good in others and seek the glory of God in everything, not just on church service or a particular program that's going forth or a particular task that has been assigned to us, but in everything we do, we seek the glory of God and we seek the good for others, not just see it, but we actually pursue it. We invest in it. So how do we score on faithful? Faithful. Amen. One of the questions is, are there areas of hypocrisy and indifferences towards others in your life? Or is your life characterized by faith in Christ and faithfulness to those around you? And that's anybody that God sends in your area of influence, whether it's in a grocery store, on the tollway, in your home, at your job, at school, wherever it is. Are you faithful in pursuing the good for others and the glory of God? So how do we measure up?
Dependable.
Dependable. Intentionally giving up what we have in order to give to those that have a need around us. Shift the evidence in the life of those who seek the glory of God. Amen. All right, so let's score, please. Yes, ma'am.
Excuse me, I was going to say, I certainly agree with the evangelist with dependability. I think even civility, even when it's not a situation where somebody is depending, or I think there are, that we have many opportunities, countless opportunities every day where it's just a matter of hello, thank you, excuse me, not letting the door go. You know, I mean, just some really basic kinds of courtesies. And then I think that when we think about those things, and that sometimes, well, I shouldn't say we, that's not true. I know that when I have had situations where just sometimes things seem like where you just really just not being your best of who, you know, you can be, and things seem to be coming off the rails, where it makes you think, okay, what is it that's going on with me that prevents me from just even appearing pleasant? You know, because sometimes it's like, okay, put my game face on. I don't even want to look like you want to speak to me. You know what I mean? Where that's intentional. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm just saying that I know that I'm not by myself in that. You know, it may be a few other folks on the line that have the same thing. But even if not, I think just those common courtesies and things, especially even with the people that we live with, that we get so used to not even thinking about it. I was at a situation and I met someone that I was very interesting. It was a preacher, and he was an author and stuff, and we were talking about some things, and he was just being very gracious or whatever. And at the end, I said something, I don't know, like, give me a card or something. I don't even remember exactly what it was. But I know he said, thank you. And I was still thinking about something he said. I wasn't saying anything else, but I didn't respond. And then it kind of caught me. And, you know, I kind of caught up with him because he had walked away. You know, it was like, okay, goodbye, whatever. He was leaving. And I was like, you know, excuse me for not saying you're welcome. Because I did hear you say that. But I was so into what I was thinking about, the whole experience, what I had gotten, what I was going to do next with this information I had received, that sometimes, you know, just those basic kinds of things, and we chide children all the time about saying, what do you say? You know, what do you say? And, you know, well, we don't do it. And excuse me. And I think that's sometimes the reason why they don't do it. So when I think of integrity, I think of some of those kinds of things and just being approachable and available, because a lot of times we don't even get to the opportunity to be used by God because we have our defenses up that the folks, you know, are kind of fearful of, you know, saying whatever. And obviously God's not bereft of people to use, you know, he's got donkeys and bushes burning and talking. So, you know, but I think sometimes, you know, we somehow misguidedly think that, you know, God needs us. You know, he just loves and wants us. You know.
Amen. And even in your sharing, there is a sense in that one of the concerns that that the question asks. You know, are there areas of hypocrisy and indifference towards others? And when you said, you know, open the door or, you know, don't let the door close in some people's face. I mean, and those are things that we do. And they are not investing in the eternal for people. And so as a result, it's not being faithful. Not being faithful to the real integrity. Not possessing real integrity. And we so often poof those things off. But those things are very important. And they do build our spirit in the area of humility and in the area of loving one another. And there, I was thinking when you were speaking, you know, how much of a hypocrite we often are, you know, when we, you know, go out where people see us, we know there's a certain thing they want to see happen, you know, with what we do and what we say. And that's very hypocritical because that really isn't the way we really feel. You know, so we're really not being faithful. We're just putting on a front. You know, and so and too often we do that, you know, not wanting the real self to show, but because of that, we don't become the real person we should be. Draw our growth because we deny and live a lie. And we have to stop and assess the fact that the gardener is revealing these things to us so that we can surrender.
And overseer, do you feel that? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, finish.
I was just going to ask you, do you feel that is sin? Because part of me feels like that is sin for the believer when we are indifferent.
Absolutely.
Because there is a level of that where we're not trusting God to make whatever we need to happen. So if I'm running late and I need my game face on because I don't need you to say, oh, I'm not feeling well, and then I need to say, well, what's going on? You know, it's, well, we don't trust God that all the things are going to work out if we do it his way, if we are, whatever you just said, people of integrity. You know, if we are integral in our intentional, you know, in faithfulness to just being the hands and the feet and of Jesus Christ, you know, being that example in the world. So, you know, we have so many gospels, even, you know, this whole Sermon on the Mountain, how many times where it appears that, he was inconvenienced. He being Jesus, obviously, was inconvenienced by folks. I mean, and it, you know, obviously for him it wasn't inconvenienced. But yes, I mean, it's a practical application that things happen, and whatever your agenda and your plans are, that you have to make room for God to do whatever he's going to do. That sometimes that plan was just to get you right there with that other person, that, you know, that was going to be the highlight, you know. So I think it's going to be very interesting when we get to glory and we see that video of our whole life and all of the missed opportunities, every single one. Because, you know, he watches and he records and he evaluates. So some of those snarls and, you know, whatever, sucking your teeth at people, you know, some of that, that's, hey, you know, that's going to burn up, you know. You know.
But how about this? Sometimes we do not keep our mind all the time on God. Don't care how we try. We do not keep our mind all the time on God.
And we could. And that's just like, you know, people, they really don't believe, Christians really don't believe they can live a sinless life. They don't believe that. But at some point in our walk, as Holy Spirit has brought us and corrected us and empowered us and taught us, yes, we can. He said he can keep you from falling. He really can. You know, he will. And he didn't say, be ye holy and go and sin not, because he thought we couldn't do it. He knew that he would give us, empower us to be able to, but we would have to embrace that empowerment. We would have to embrace the correction. We'd have to embrace the instructions and not feel like, well, not like that, really. You know, like this undivided heart. It's like, well, what are you talking about? You know, well, it really isn't like that. But it really is like that. Yes, am I have a comment? Yes. And so as we look at these fruits, that's why we're doing this inspection. He didn't give the Sermon on the Mount for us to pick and choose or to give our own analogy of what he really meant. He's going to make it plain to us what the heart of God is. The heart of God is love. It's not love like we see it, which is why we're taking this inspection. Because I think if we just asked you, you know, how would you rate the level of fruit in your life on love without asking these questions or without having to answer these questions, our scores would be much higher. But when we're faced with these definitions and these elements of that fruit, say, well, no, I don't have that. No. You know, there may be some things we do, but there are some things, do you really seek good for others? No, but if I see it in them, I'll celebrate it. Okay. Do I look for it? No. Do I invest in it? You know, not as often as we should. And with everybody. You know, so this is true on a lot of levels for some of the people in our lives. But that's not, the fruit isn't for our preferred group of people. But the fruit is for the world to see Christ. And so it's not for us to pick and choose, which we do with our preferences or, you know, just like somebody says, you know, popping your lips and it's like when certain names are, you call somebody's name, you go, that's such a sin. And I so repent, too. And I, this is where that prayer, Lord, I am willing for you to make me will and do your good pleasure. I have to surrender that. I can't do it on my own. I can't say, oh, it's under the name. Don't say it now. No, I got to give it to God. And whatever, however he gives me the empowerment to will and to do his pleasure, he has to do it because I can't do it on my own. I don't have it within me, and he doesn't want me to because he honestly, like the evangelist said, we don't think about him all the time, and yet he thinks about us all the time, and that's what he wants us to do. He wants that kind of an intimate relationship with us. He wants us to be totally dependent on him because he understands if we are not, we will not succeed. We will stumble. We will be frustrated. We will face failure and depression and get to places of bitterness and anger within us because it's like no matter how hard I try, I can't do it. You know, and we can't do it. And no matter how we try, we won't do it because it's him that does it in us. And it's not until we realize that, you know, this battle really isn't yours. It's the Lord. We had a song Sunday that so blessed me. You know, I don't know, I can't remember, maybe somebody that's online can remember all the words, but you may see me, you know, you may see something around me, but how does that go, Mr. Pat? You praise and worship, but that's how I fight my battles. How does that song go? I know Pastor Minerva is even singing, but at any rate, and in singing the song, no matter what it looks like, you see around me, God is around me, and that's how I fight my battles. But what I realized as they sang the song over and over and over, it's like, no, I don't fight no battles. That's how he fights my battles. And it's just getting to understand that from I to he. That is pivotal in our process of relationship with God. It's not me. That is not how I fight. I don't fight nothing. Because whatever I try to fight, I'm lost. And I know he says we are victorious. Yes, we are. We are overcomers. We are victorious. We are overcomers. But the battle is not ours. It really belongs to the Lord. He said he will fight for us. That's what Christ did. And so just bringing those truths in our thinking, it transforms even our eyesight when we look at what's around us. They don't even look the same anymore because we have a whole different, we have a God definition. You know, and so, you know, when the person doesn't put the blinker on and pop in front of you, even though that's a legal hazard and it's against the law and all of those things, God still has a certain response he wants us to give to that situation. Amen? Comments? Questions? Insights? So, sorry, I didn't have you on speaker. You dropped off. Okay. So next we go to gentleness. Gentleness is not without power. It just chooses to defer to others. Okay. Gentleness is not without power. Gentleness, a meekness, is not weakness. It just chooses to defer to others. It forgives others, corrects with kindness, and lives in tranquility. Gentleness is the strength not to be rough or abrasive. It is the strength to be kind. It is an outgrowth of wisdom. Only a strong person can be gentle. So gentleness is the product of wisdom. And wisdom we can have by simply asking. He says, if you desire it, ask it, and it is yours. Am I allowing the grace of God to flow through me to others? There was such a life-changing scripture for me that our action, our life, our words should be full of grace and seasoned with salt. And so often it is full of salt, seasoned with grace. And anybody that cooks knows, if you put too much salt in something,
you can forget it. And I think that's all very true of relationships. And so, and even a teaching of whatever it is, if you are not using the power of that fruit, it's in vain. So, gentleness. So let's look at the question so that we can assess our answer. Which one am I looking for? Okay, one says it's meekness. Okay, we did goodness, right? And faithfulness. Okay, meekness. We are willing to go under any yoke that God wants me to in order to be submissive to God and to one another out of our mutual reverence for Christ. That sentence says a lot. Let me repeat it. I am willing to go under any yoke that God wants me to in order to be submissive to God and to one another out of our mutual reverence for Christ. I freely and willingly accept all that God in his promise gives or withholds from me. I am willing to step under the yoke with Christ and my co-workers in kingdom service. I am willing to step aside when it is time to do so. I bring myself under the authority of Christ and his church. I can glory in my infirmity so that the power of God may be made manifest in me. I deal with provocation without being inflamed by it. I get a zero. I give a soft answer when angry words are spoken. I respect my own rights and the rights of others, willing to give up mine if the Lord so guides me. I am proactive and not reactive. I relate to others as one among sinners, never arrogantly. So how do we relate, area of meekness? From 1 to 10.
I feel it. Overseer. Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay. I said I was on that gentleness, and I was talking, but I think I was off the line. But when you're on gentleness now, I was saying I think I scored it like a 3, and it ain't no excuse for it. You know, it's just like I think it was when you were, I think Evandra's Novellus, when we're not always in his presence, abiding and dwelling, then when a situation or circumstances may come, we might not be gentle in the way we speak or say something. And it wind up, you can't take back what you say once you say it. So having a gentle and quiet spirit, you know, is something I know I need to work on, you know, whether it be in marriage or friends or life or family or whatever, and speak before I speak or just don't say anything. So in that area, I just need the grace. But just to be right and be okay, just don't say anything.
Well, let me tell you.
Pray about it.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Anybody else? And I know when I was reading this again. Here we go.
Well, I was reading it line by line. So I don't rate too well I'm not rating myself at all. I took line by line.
I hear you. Yes, yes.
I can't even think of a number, so I'll just leave it.
Yes.
I think that's a hard one when you read it. Like, you know, I don't know. Some of them I say, well, I don't know. You know, and being honest with yourself, you know, and say, I am willing to go under any yoke that God wants me to in order to be I don't know. If you're really honest with yourself,
I don't know.
I freely and willingly accept all that God in His providence gives or withholds from me. I think, you know, I just say yes to that because, you know, I don't have a choice. I have to accept it. I'm willing to step under the yoke with Christ and my co-workers in kingdom service. Yes, but whatever that may look like, I'm willing to step aside when it is time to do so. Yes, I bring myself under the authority of Christ and His church. Question mark. I do.
Right.
In my infirmity, so that the power of God may be made manifest to me. Question mark. I deal with provocation without being inflamed by it. No.
Yeah, me neither. Zip. Yeah. But one thing,
if you're honest with yourself, then you know, and you see yourself, you really take a good look. You know, you just say, "Well, no, I don't always give a solid answer."
Much prayer.
Am I proactive? No, I'm a reactor. In a lot of cases, I'm more of a reactor. I don't think I'm arrogant, but I know I am, and I can be a reactor. So I have to work on that. Holy Spirit has to work on me.
Yes, amen, and that's it.
Yes.
And I even think of this word like never arrogant, and yet are we stubborn? Because that's a form of arrogance. You know, we're not giving it up. No.
I know that I'm stuck, and so what was the word you said?
Arrogantly, because it says I relate to others as one among sinners. So that's a very humble place. You know, I'm just, you know, well, I'm saved, but it's not me; it's Christ. And so the me need not ever be stubborn nor arrogant about anything that I can think of, because I'm, you know, one among sinners that He saved. And so not over any, no one person is over another. We're all one among sinners that have been saved. And so I look at that, I freely and willingly accept all, and freely and willingly mean I don't struggle with it. But yeah, I do. This says, this meekness is saying, I freely and willingly accept it all. In other words, He said it is, and I'm good. You know, I'm rejoicing, whether He gives it to me or whether He withholds it from me. And so I think that, you know, like you say, when we go line by line, now I do see some things here, I see lines here where I know specific times that in season that He produced that fruit in me. I know exactly the situation. I can remember the process, and I can rejoice in the fact that He has done that for me, and it is in my life, and I praise God for it. And I think that that's something else that we're looking at where we fall short. Let's also look at where
we have overcome, because it was all zero, and it's not anymore. And any number that we have has been produced in us by the Holy Spirit. So it is Him that has brought us from that place, and so that we're not total zeros or nothing. You know, but remember, we are as among other sinners that have been saved. And so there is rejoicing, and that rejoicing in what He has done is the encouragement that we need for Him to continue. And He knows that we want Him to, because He's brought us to this place and we've surrendered to Him, you know, and we are looking at Him as looking at it in a God's eye view and surrendering truthfully. You know, those parts of us that, just like the elder said, that's a sin. Yeah, it is a sin. And it is those kinds of sins that trip up the church, because they're not those signature sins. Or maybe these are signature sins that Apostle talks about, but they're not lying, stealing, cheating, you know, murdering, and, you know, I don't do that no more, I don't drink, I don't fornicate, I don't, you know, adulter, and, you know, those are really big ones, we can say. And yet these are ones that are so deep-rooted that if they're not allowed to the soil of our hearts, allow the gardener cultivate the soils of our hearts, then they become true problems. They become deep problems. And as a result, the church, the people, those that are Christians, are not reflecting the image of Christ properly to the world, and God is getting no glory. And so
I just wanted to just interject two things. When you just said signature sins, you know, I think that our answers to whatever our answers are when they are not to the positive, that those really are the signature sins. Because I think most of the people, I won't say in the body of Christ, but I think most of the people, to the extent that we know, have gotten rid of, you know, some of those big things. You know, God has allowed some of those things to mm-hmm. get out, to, you know, move outside of our lives. But to kind of piggyback on what Elder Roberta said, the whole idea of what we don't do, when we think of, like, we don't, no, I don't do it all the time, or maybe I don't do it most of the time, I think mm-hmm. we need to go back and look at when do we do it, and see what mm-hmm. is it that prevents us from having that same positive behavior.
Absolutely.
With whomever and whatever the situation is where we don't. To me, this is the one thing about this, even though I think it is a very, it truly is a very critical look at our behavior,
mm-hmm.
the, you know, the results of our behavior. But I think it is such a good benchmark, because it is so mm-hmm. intimate in ways that we violate and we transgress that we are so mm-hmm. accustomed to doing that we justify them and we excuse them. I think to the extent
mm-hmm.
that we say, I'm not doing it and I can't do it, when the truth of it is we just choose not to do it. Like you said earlier, of course, all of those things, when it's asking, do you do this or do you don't do this, and trust me, I'm no better in my scoring than probably anybody else is on the line, but I do understand, and like you said, we have to be intentional every day, every situation. So every conversation with your mama, with your sister, with your neighbor, with the bus driver who, you know, made you run a block,
mm-hmm.
with whatever the case may be, that those fruits should be evident in everything that we do. And we really need to get to a point, I think, especially those who are on this line, there is absolutely no excuse. There will be not one word that we can say when we stand before a holy God when we haven't done everything that's on that paper. There will really just be nothing that we can say. And we can't say, well, Lord, you know my heart. He's going to say, yep. And you chose not to do it my way. And you chose to, you know, entertain the flesh, or you chose to be indifferent, or you didn't acknowledge, or unconcerned, or you forgot, or whatever the case may be, you know, when he has blessed us, you know, with all spiritual blessings, you know, we're gifted to be able to do whatever we need to do, and we know, you know, we know, and we have. I'm sure everybody on this line can teach John 15, you know,
yeah.
Because we've done, you know, we've done it, you know, exhaustively. And so there really is no reason, you know, I mean, there is no reason for us not to, I want to say perform, but there is no reason for our fruits not to be displayed and to be bountiful and sweet, and everybody see the difference. So to me, our prayer needs to be, and I'm saying our prayer collectively, needs to be that everywhere, as we read through this, you know, that everywhere that we are falling short, then Holy Spirit, remind me, because we already know that God has made it possible. We don't have to ask him, Lord, give me, you know, make this doable, because it's already done. You know, I mean, the power over sin has already been broken, you know, through the resurrected power of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So, you know, we just need to get our high knees in gear.
Yeah, all we have to do is recognize that we have a problem, that one of them has become our problem. So once we admit that to ourselves, then we can start working on and doing. But I might think that that's your problem and not my problem. Once you start realizing that that's your problem, then we can start working with it and dealing with it and get rid of it.
I have
been enlightened, and I appreciate the lesson today, but I do have to drop off. And everyone, you all, thank you for sharing, and everyone have a blessed day and a blessed weekend coming up. Okay, take care.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing. God bless you. And I just, just for today's session, the fact that this is just the beginning. And I think that I know what the Spirit wants us to now do is to go to the Sermon on the Mount, go to the 33 heart conditions and identify them and God's solution for them and what the violation of these precepts look like as is put forth in the Paul Carmen appendix when he does the Sermon on the Mount, the 33 precepts that came forth out of that. And I know as I was going in different areas of the fruit that I felt short of, and generally it was in the area where there was a definition that I had to look up. And once I looked up the definition, then I saw the problem. And it almost invariably would use a word that describes one of the precepts on the Sermon on the Mount, like undivided or tame. So there are different key words that were revealed. So now those are the ones I'm going to focus on, start with, and the tame is the blessed are the meek, okay. Undivided heart, and I know I had it, but now I can't find it to save my life. But the undivided heart, here it is, right. No man can serve two masters, right. I would have never thought of that as an undivided heart. Now, I understand you can't have God and man. I hear that. But to invest in eternal treasures, and I understand, but when it's put like that, you know, and it makes it clear that your heart is, you got one side that wants this and another part of your heart wants that, and that's idolatry. It's separatism. Like just looking at the violations, what the violations are called. When I read the violations, when I read 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, that's not what I looked at, you know, as a tamed heart. It wasn't taking what won the court. No, that's tamed. Having debate. That's, you know, just
arguing a point, okay? Just think of that as a pain card. And yet, those are the things that we are now going to become, as Elder said, responsible for, because he's made it known to us. He has presented it to us. And that's what we have asked him. Lord, search me, and that which you find that is not like you, reveal it to me. And this is his revelation to us of those things that are in our hearts. So we have one last fruit to look at, and then the fact of walking in the Spirit, and then we're going to go surely next week to the Sermon on the Mount. So I encourage you to read through the 33 presentations from precepts from the sermon. Read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7, and then look at Corinthians, actually 1st and 2nd Corinthians probably the best thing, to do the whole thing, because there's references back and forth to them based on the precept that's presented on the Sermon on the Mount. And then we will be full swing into allowing total surrender. Allowing total surrender, identifying what it even looks like, what it means, what it's going to entail, the areas, and that sort of thing. So we do. We thank God for his love that has given us his Son and his Spirit, which is why I so love that song this morning. We are one, you know, Father, who's given us the Son, who has then allowed Holy Spirit to come and bring us to this place of wholeness, a place of oneness with one another and with him. So, questions, comments, insights, revelations? Okay.
You have to look up, when you look at the definition of some of those words, because when you just look at the words, sometimes you don't get the full meaning of them. But when you look at the definition of the words, then you can readily speak to truth or not.
Absolutely. All right, then. Okay, so if there's nothing else, please enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit and enjoy your worship. Amen.
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 Amen. All right, till next week.
God bless.
God bless.